next on Speak Up.
I have 3 children, as everybody knows, but when your child, a 4-year-old, is jumping everywhere, I mean, from the sofa onto the, you know, the table.
He's just athletic.
It all starts right now.
81% of parents don't think dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss it up.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's what we have to control.
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, known as ADHD, is a childhood disorder that affects as many as 1 out of 10 children in the United States. Now, worldwide, the diagnosis of ADHD has surged, rising as much as 10 times in some countries. For some, the disorder has become a cultural and economic phenomenon and not a medical one. How can parents really know if their child has ADHD or if they simply have a normal, very active child? That is what we will speak up about. This is a question that many parents are asking right now. Maybe their children are very active. They can't hold still.
Welcome to being a parent.
Is that what parents is all about?
I mean, come on. They're kids.
Yeah, well, the healthy toddler, we are told, can be very active.
Easy for you to say, because when you're right there.
You're not the parent, right?
When you have a child.
My cat behaves very well.
I have 3 children, as everybody knows, but when your child, 4-year-old, is jumping everywhere. I mean, from the sofa onto the, you know, the table in the center
of the house. He's just athletic.
Well, but you're concerned about, you know, trauma, and you're concerned about your toddler that he jumps
trauma
so far.
Like he's going to break his leg or something.
Yeah, for him and for his siblings, you know, and plus an infant that I had at the time, I said, I need help. This boy has something. I wanted him to have something so I would be able to give him something. Right.
Would he obey you if you told him to
Ishmael was a sweetheart. Yes, mommy. And he would do it anyway.
Yes, I was like, my nephew.
So, yeah.
Okay, auntie. And
take off and do it anyway. So being very zealous about it, I thought, okay, I need to take my child to somebody.
Or maybe you were just overreacting to it.
Well, at the time, I didn't think so. I thought I was doing the best.
Right. How old was he?
He was 4 years old.
Oh, 4. Wow, he's quite
young.
Right.
30 now.
He's 30 now. Right. So there was exactly at the time when the science was really, you know, taking off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you heard a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, this is what he has. So I take him
to diagnose him just right away.
She saw one television commercial that suggested that ADHD medication.
If your child is being behaving.
She said, that's my kid. I'm gone. I need this.
So you all should be there. I mean, this child was impossible. And so I take him.
What would he do? Why do you think it was so impossible? I mean,
he wouldn't stop, but he wasn't taking naps
was
anymore.
He was not sleeping well.
There was bar. You know when you get inside of the door and with your hands and your feet and you climb up on the doorway.
That's not normal. That's normal.
It is normal up to a certain point.
Was he able to sit still sometimes, like for worship or for?
Never.
Mm-hmm. He was interactive during worship. That's how you view it.
Trust me, guys. I had reasons to take him to the doctor.
Okay. So what happened when you took him to the doctor?
I take him to the doctor, and it was a psychologist, a child psychologist counselor. And after 45 minutes with my child, he comes out, and I'm eager, you know, give me something. And he says, you have a very normal, very active boy.
Oh, you were so disappointed, aren't you?
I want a second opinion.
Did you have a second opinion? No, I didn't have a second opinion. I went on to, and then I reflected some more. Maybe I am overreacting. Maybe this is what motherhood is all about. Maybe this is where patience should come in, and I should guide.
But it was a good thing you took it. Because the problem is when parents have this impasse and they just ignore it, what if he really was ADHD?
Exactly.
The problem, you know, when they become older and they go to school and then they have, you know, problems, paying attention, learning, then it really can be.
And
more
at that
difficult.
Point, you think it's something else causing it. Once uh-huh. you're, once that kid's a little bit older and they just don't feel like doing homework, you think, well, they just don't feel like doing.
They
homework.
Are lazy. Lazy.
They are
right.
lazy.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And sometimes they can go into adulthood. Like mm-hmm. that, with that misdiagnosis, and it becomes very difficult in relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you have a situation that is my mother, and we're very open about this in my family. Yeah. We mm-hmm. talk about things like that very openly, so I feel very comfortable talking about it. Mm-hmm. So my mother was a mm-hmm. typical example, and she the signs
of
and
the
symptoms
ADHD
of
as well,
absolutely, yeah. When she was a little girl, mm-hmm. she fit all the profile because it's all based on the symptoms and
behaviors,
right? Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so she grew up, she had all these problems in school and in society. She can never sit still. She can never pay attention. Mm. She will never complete a task. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, she carried on those traits.
Those traits.
And that can
yeah.
really
That's
make
difficult.
It hard.
It's like
you're trying to keep a job.
It makes it very difficult, yeah, to
right.
even just do normal things.
Because
they medicate the same, do they medicate adults the same way that they do
That's
kids?
Well, that's a question we want to ask our experts.
Yeah. But I also want, like, I also want to think about, like, what was the cause of all these, like, issues? Is it because somebody or that kid or the adult has been exposed, like, a trauma, perhaps? Mm. Or had even, like, had trauma when they were growing up? Or were the kids, like, exposed to, like, a lot of social media, mm-hmm. television? That's why they're overstimulated. That's why they have the ADHD.
Or they would be—they were born that way.
Or they were born yeah. that way. Right.
Yes, those are questions we
right,
can ask.
Right.
Because, you know, I think science has been trying to find causes. And a lot of these diseases, sometimes it's very hard to pinpoint
right.
one specific reason. There are
Which
many things that are involved.
Medicated.
Yeah.
Right. And,
they are.
And it's hard to pinpoint, and so we just throw a pill at it.
Path. And yeah, it's the easier
Sometimes
path.
I wonder if it's all about medication. Like, are some cases, can they be dealt with by certain behavioral changes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
environmental
like,
changes.
Probably,
you know.
Based on what I have read and what we normally do. Of course, my focus as a practitioner is not on child, you know, psychiatry,
right.
mental
right.
health per se. But I think it's always in these issues is a multilateral approach for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have medication, but you also have behavioral things that, as parents, they mm-hmm. can help the child set some boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
not give some chocolates.
Chocolate.
Oh, no,
oh actually, diet has a big impact. Because some
don't
foods,
take the chocolate away from the children.
Some foods, stimulants, can actually make
uh-huh.
it more difficult.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I know of a family that actually does have a child with ADHD. Once they started to put some boundaries and actually change the diet,
treated it without medication?
Know, they actually were able to see a much big improvement.
Oh, wow.
And, but some cases, they still need a medication.
Did they have to right. use medication, or was it they were able to
In
do
their
it
case,
diet?
It wasn't a super hyper mm-hmm. ADHD high mm-hmm. level, I guess, or a major type. So it was able to control their behavior.
I always like when options can be given. I mean, certainly if it's at a certain level, then maybe medication has to be mixed in. But I always do like when options are given,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
when different things can be explored.
And that
know,
is very, yeah, very
I'm not
important.
Medicating a four-year-old. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, many parents are afraid of that. But let's ask some of these questions to an expert. We have with us our guest, Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick. She is a clinical child and adult psychiatrist. Dr. Jude, you've heard our conversation. It's hard for parents, isn't it? Do you find that parents oftentimes come to you with a child, as you Sarah came, and say, I think my child has ADHD. What do you think? Is that common?
Yes, it is very common because by the time a child comes to me, they have exhausted a lot of other options. And it depends on the culture. It depends on the school. And many times children come to me because the school will say, don't bring them back unless they're
So they're already at school age at that point.
They're already at school
so
age.
So how early can a child be diagnosed? 4 years old, like her child?
I think it's very important for people to understand that ADHD is a brain disease.
It's a brain disease.
It is a brain disease. And National Institute of Mental Health has shown when they took MRIs of the brain that kids who actually have ADHD, their brains are normal, but it develops much slower than kids who do not have ADHD. There are definitely signs and symptoms, but there are a lot of times when parents use substances when they're pregnant with the child that impacts that brain.
So that can be part of the cause.
That
too.
Could be
it
part of the cause.
It slows the brain development.
It slows the brain development.
And that can be another reason. Why.
And it is also inherited. It is a multifactorial question. It's not just this, just that. Absolutely
well,
not.
We want to hear more about that, but we have to take a break. When we come back, my speaker friends will join us to ask some tough questions to Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick. Stick around. are speaking up about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick is helping us today. So, Dr. Boyer, we were talking about this issue about diagnosing, and many times it's hard for parents to be able to discern, but they need an expert opinion. Can you tell viewers and us here why is it so hard to diagnose ADHD?
I think your panelists brought it up quite very well done.
All right.
A lot of children are hyper.
Yes. Yeah.
And I certainly was a hyper child, very hyper child, running when I shouldn't be and playing, couldn't gain weight because I was so hyper. But there's definitely a difference between attention deficit disorder and just being hyper.
Oh, tell us. Mm-hmm. We need to know.
I think people need to understand that attention deficit disorder is a disease. It is a brain disease. Mm-hmm. And every disease has symptoms. Mm-hmm. If you have a cough and a cold, you have symptoms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are symptoms. And attention deficit hyperactivity disorder comes in three parts. People who are predominantly inattention. These are the kids who are the daydreamers. They lose
they
things.
Are
they do their homework
it's hard to
and
capture.
Forget to turn it in. They don't like to focus and do their assignment. These are the kids who can't focus. Then there are the hyperactive, impulsive kids, the ones who get up out of the chair, rolling on the floor, making noise, tapping, disruptive in the class, talking all the time. You have to redirect, noisy, can't play quietly, interrupting conversations. So you have predominantly inattentive, predominantly hyperactive, impulsive, and then you have some kids who are both. Which is
mercy.
Called combined type.
Oh,
I feel
for the parents.
Help me, Lord.
Typically, boys tend to be more of the hyperactive impulsive.
Oh, is that right?
Correct.
That must be
three
why it's
one.
Hard. Like, in just there, it's a little boy, and it's really hard to distinguish. Is he just being a normal little boy?
Yeah. Exactly.
I didn't give him a chance. I mean, he was only four.
Is that how early can you diagnose at a four-year-old? You usually want to wait a little later.
I hate to say it, but sometimes we've diagnosed at three.
Wow.
That early.
Do you medicate at three?
In some cases. Oh. And you have to remember, again, there are mitigating circumstances.
Okay.
Sometimes some children don't get a fair chance at the start because of what happened in utero. Sometimes kids are very traumatized. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have brain injuries, which make them very hyperactive. Right. And so there are other factors that go into, I don't like to, but have I done it? Yes.
Okay, so causes. You're saying that actually even before the child is born, there may be things that the mother, a pregnant mom, might
correct.
Do that can actually
correct. Particularly substances.
Okay, tell
if
us
you're
about
using
that.
Drugs or alcohol, that has an impact on the brain.
Yeah.
So, it definitely has an impact on the brain. And it depends on the substance that you use. And so if you live in certain geographic demographics, you know that you have a higher propensity of a mother who might be using. So when a child comes in, we always have to ask, did the mother use drugs and alcohol during
so
pregnancy?
So that's part of your assessment. Mm-hmm.
That is part of the assessment.
What other causes are there other than that? Or you said it could be hereditary
A lot of ADHD is hereditary. So we ask, is there anyone in the family
that has been diagnosed
ADHD? Oh, right. Many times it's mom, it's dad, it's cousin, it's grandparents. You have to know that almost the same hereditary pattern of schizophrenia, that is how, you can...
That's why I'm surprised that the doctor that assessed your son, I can't believe you weren't in the room. Is that normal for you to
do you normally have
assess the child
with
the
child
when it's that young?
He took him in the room and he played games with him, and that was a window I could see him interacting
but
with
him. But he didn't
him.
Ask you questions.
So here is the issue. Okay. That is certainly the way we used to do it in the past.
Okay. So that was okay for 20 years ago.
Okay.
But today, we don't have the time. So, yes, the best way to do it is if you talk to the parent alone, talk to the child alone, and talk to the parent and the child.
Together.
So often we don't have that kind of time to do that. So what we do is if I have a new assessment, I talk to the parent and I tell the parent, let the child go.
Yeah. Okay.
And I can watch and see what the child is doing in. And it's also very important to understand that you cannot diagnose ADHD in just one setting.
You need more than a visit.
I need input from the school. What is the child doing in the school? What am I seeing in my office? And what is the parent seeing at home? Mm-hmm. And you put all of that together. And
then
you can
give a diagnosis. Now, once you give a diagnosis, what happens then? What are the options for treatment? We were talking about that. Is it just medication?
Or is it behavioral?
Is there also other things that parents can do?
I don't think medication alone can fix anything.
Okay.
Definitely not. In this country, we tend to medicate first before, but medication and therapy together is the best combination. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You need a therapist, behavioral therapist, cognitive behavioral therapist
mm-hmm.
to help the child with coping skills. When I get angry, am I going to take my pencil and stab my here? What else can I do?
Right.
When I get
angry? That can get the kid expelled. Right.
Am I going to get up and walk out of the class?
Right.
When I get angry, am I going to say things to the teacher I should not say?
Right.
These are where the therapy comes in.
Okay.
Do you disclose this to the child? Do you talk to the child and are you open and to say, this is what you have? Do you tell them they have a brain disease?
But would they understand, though, if you open
exactly.
that? I don't think it's
because
it's
generally
too young,
speaking,
right.
the children are diagnosed beginning in kindergarten or first grade because you don't really see it until they get to school. A lot of parents will say, my child is an ADHD. When they're at home, they're perfectly good angels. However, if a child is doing something they love to do,
mm-hmm. then
they're going to
be focused
on it. If they're looking at TV, if they're on their iPad, if they're doing sports, if they're doing something that they love to do and they're very focused on that, you're not going to see it. If they go to daycare, you're likely to see it earlier. They're not going to nap. They can't sit down still. They can't do this. Can't follow the regimen. Yeah. And I'm not saying that every child who can't follow the regimen is ADHD. And I want that to be very, very clear.
Yeah, we need to make sure
that every child who is hyperactive is not ADHD.
I was going to ask that, Dr. Patrick, if somebody can be calm, can they also have ADHD?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As long as they are daydreaming too much. Maybe,
and this is where a lot of girls fall through the cracks because, again, boys are diagnosed 3-1 because they tend to be more hyperactive and impulsive. Right. Uh-huh. The girls can be quiet and they're in the back of the class, and they're daydreaming, and they're not getting their work done, and they're not focusing. So you have to be very careful to not make snap judgments. And what happens is boys get diagnosed more.
Oh, than girls.
Because they're so disruptive, they're going to come to the doctor more. But then a girl who is quiet and not making the noise or being disruptive might fall through the cracks.
Mm. And that is a problem because as they become adults,
correct.
You know, that can really... Do you also diagnose, because you also see adults.
Yes, I do.
How often do you see adults coming in, unlike, you know, that they were not diagnosed early on?
Technically, what will happen is, particularly in the older teen, they come in with a mood disorder first. Because these are the kids who try and try and try and try. And no matter how much they try, they can't get it. Mm-hmm. And they're frustrated, and people are always on them. Why don't you behave? Why can't you do your homework? Why can you? Why do you do your homework and forget to turn it in?
I imagine that really hits their self-esteem.
Correct.
And they know that they're trying very hard,
and they're trying
there's a follow-through that doesn't happen.
And I think another part that's very important to know that with a child with ADHD, and this is what I do to show it, this is a child without ADHD, this is a child with ADHD. Our brains are 3 to 4 years behind in development. They eventually catch up. Mm. So if a child is really 10 years old and you're saying, this is what a 10-year-old should do, and they're not doing it because their brains are really 6.
Right.
You can't see their brains. You see their bodies. Or you have a young girl who is beginning to have puberty, and you're expecting her to behave in a certain way, but her brain hasn't caught up.
But what are the standards? It said that they shouldn't, this is what they should do, but they are not doing it. Are we looking into academics? Are we looking into social behaviors?
We're looking at all of it. Mm-hmm. Because with academics, their grades are not where they should be, and they're struggling and getting C's and D's when they're really AB kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the other part of it is there are kids who are very hyperactive, impulsive, but they have learning disabilities. And so
that can be with
correct.
It. That's why it's so hard and difficult. But the good news is that they can get better from
the good news is they can get better. And that's why you need to have someone look at them because, again, every active child is not ADHD.
Yeah. So you
they
need a careful
other things
assessment.
That are going on. You need a careful assessment.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Boyer. It's been very helpful for us to understand a little bit more, but we know there's still many more questions that in the future we'll bring you back to talk about. For more information, visit our website, hopetv.org/speakup. There you will find more about this very important topic on ADHD, and you can download our Speak Up notes. When we come back from the break, the Word of God will speak up on this issue as well. We're speaking up about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So that was a very, very helpful conversation.
That was great.
Dr. Boyer. Yes.
That was great. As she was talking, I was thinking about 10 kids.
10
I was
kids.
Like, I'm sure you are now ADHD.
Isn't this helpful for you guys who work with teens? Yes. In case they miss.
Yes. Two things especially. Mm-hmm. One, that girls are probably underdiagnosed because they're not, we don't see it as
don't
much.
Don't fit that hyperactivity.
Right. Yeah. And then number two, that it doesn't necessarily mean you're seeing this hyperactivity could be sitting in the back of
the
class, daydreaming and not able to follow.
They're not doing well in school. They don't know why. Parents
really
might not be very connected with that. So you guys actually, as you minister to them, you might be able to explore, you know.
My takeaway is that I was not totally wrong to take my four-year-old.
You were right. You were right. You should be proud of yourself that you did that. We want parents that are watching to do the same. You know, if you are in doubt, just take it to the doctor. You know, that is very helpful to know. As she said, there is such a thing as your child, a very healthy, hyperactive kid. It doesn't mean that all kids that are running around, that are not following the rules at home necessarily, that they have ADHD.
That's right.
Sometimes you just have to have more patience.
But the viewers know that they need a full assessment to not, to she pointed out, to look at the kid, to talk about family history,
school,
to talk about diet, school,
how they act at school.
To get that full picture.
And mothers, if you're getting pregnant,
you have
a child, you have to be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, avoid using any kind of substance that can damage your child's brain.
Or maybe even foods. There are certain foods that are not the best for a woman when she's pregnant.
True.
Those foods should also be looked at and evaluated as well.
That's right. And as a small child start to eat and intake of food, give them also, especially if they're hyperactive, don't give them stimulants all the time, too much sugar, too much
Coke
or other kinds of caffeine.
The adults that who are watching us right now, if I think now with this explanation, if they feel that it might be them, to be encouraged to seek out help, but maybe there's still hope and a way
there
of coping
she
and
helping.
She said
that she does diagnose adults as well who come with other mood disorders as well. So, yes, it could be that is the case, and we want our viewers that are watching to make sure to do that. Now, the good news is that parents can be patient regardless whether the child has ADHD or doesn't, is just a hyperactive child. It doesn't help to just, discipline hard and just hit, just be angry. That
probably
will
makes
not
it worse.
Help.
Right. Because there's frustration on everybody's part. The kid is frustrated.
The
adult is frustrated.
Right.
The school teacher is frustrated. Mm-hmm. You know, when that kid may need medication or may not, they may need behavioral changes, diet changes. You know, like the doc said, there's so many different things to be looked at.
Yeah.
But a person has to be patient because it'll take time.
So we have to be aware as an adult surrounding the kids and even as an adult surrounding the other adults.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We couldn't just jump into conclusion and say like, oh, they're just plain bad.
Or be judgmental.
Be
judgmental. Because everybody, all of us here have a different way of how we raise the children we're responsible for. You know, whether it's niece and nephew like us or, parents and stuff.
And we never
know. We have a different way of doing it. And so we can't be judgmental, if she chooses to deal with her niece one way and I choose to deal with my niece another way. Mm-hmm. And then we discover, oh, our nieces are ADHD. Well, all the time. That's why. Because you didn't do this or you didn't do that.
Incidentally, I had people during church time coming to me and asking me, you don't have a hold on your child and do something about it. And I was like.
But you were patient. And that sounds like you were patient. And the Bible has something to tell us about this, doesn't it? What
is the
test
for
today?
So the Bible actually does talk about that patience and talks about how we should respond or not respond during moments of frustration. And it's true that when you have to deal with a kid who has ADHD or something else, that there's a level of patience.
So what is the wisdom for today? Parents, pay attention.
All right. I want to read something from the Bible, and it's found in James chapter 1, verse 19. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry."
Yeah.
That's a great recipe.
Listening. One of my mentors always told me, listen.
More than you
listen.
Speak.
Exactly.
And don't be angry, like in this case for parents. Mm-hmm. Just, be calm and take the child, get it a good
because
diagnosis.
Because sometimes even when the doctor talks to people, if you come in there saying, I don't care what they say, I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Nothing's wrong with my kid. Then you're not listening. You've gone there to maybe fulfill an order that the school gave you.
Right.
Or maybe fulfill something that your spouse told you you have to do or prefer you to do. But if you're a person who listens, then a lot of light could be shed. Like, you could really help your kid through a difficult time. Help your family through a difficult time once you listen.
Yeah, because there is hope. If the regimen, if the person is, the child is ADHD and they're following the treatment, the good news is that the brain eventually will catch up with the normal brain development of others at their age, and life will be much easier.
So there's hope. There's always hope.
There is always hope. We learned that an ADHD diagnosis is not a death sentence, nor does it mean you need to take pills for the rest of your life. Science has shown that a multilateral approach to treatment includes cognitive behavioral therapy, ADHD coaching and medication together, as well as lifestyle behaviors that can be helpful, such as exercise, sleep, and diet. If you or your child may have symptoms of hyperactivity, visit your doctor, be checked. And also, our website has pickup notes on this topic. Check the resources that are available to you. Share them with your friends and with your family. Now, if you need prayer, our prayer partners are available to pray with you right now. Call 1-888-446-7388. Also, send us your comments. Maybe you want to share your story and send us your questions on our Facebook page. We will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and happiness.